D-Mace, Vingen and Donick, 102.5. The Game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and Connor Newt here with you on your drive home. I guess Josh from White House is just catching up with the show because he said, OMG, that caller last night on the 6th telling Connor he didn't know ball was wild. As we said at the beginning of the show, Connor went from a radio boy to a radio man last night on the 6th, which you can hear at the top of the hour here on 102.5 The Game. When he was berated by a caller, he was told to stick to soccer and golf. It was the equivalent of a bar mitzvah. Because as a Jew, you become a man after you have your bar mitzvah. As a sports talk radio host, you become a radio man after you are berated by a caller. So congratulations, Connor Newt. We're proud of you.
You handled it with grace.
We're proud of you.
Thank you. I'm Catholic, but bar mitzvah is fun. I'll take it.
Bar mitzvahs are fun. Have you ever been to a bar mitzvah?
I have not.
Oh, man, you're missing out. Oh, man.
I have been to a Jewish ceremony, though. I studied religion in college. I took a class, and we went to a Jewish sermon on Sunday. It was fun.
Very cool. Yes. Bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs. Let's not forget the ladies out there. Mm-hmm. Bat mitzvahs can get wild, too.
Hey, ladies.
Did you have a band at your bar mitzvah?
No.
You didn't?
That would have been super fancy.
No, I did not have a
band. I have been
band.
To some bar mitzvahs that get a pretty good
That was super fancy.
Yeah.
Sure, it was super fancy.
I mean, I'll tell you.
I didn't have Adam Sandler's band from The Wedding Singer, but, you know.
Was Duke basketball
any of the bar mitzvahs I attended?
But. No, because my bar mitzvah was in April, so it was after the national championship game. So the college basketball season was over.
I'm sure it would have been scheduled around your bar mitzvah. If Duke was playing in the Final Four, there's no way you could hold your bar mitzvah
I'm not one of those people who's like, you can't do anything on this day because, God forbid, if my favorite team is in the championship game, we've got to cancel it. Live your life, people, okay? Don't be that guy that's like, oh, well, college football's starting, so all of my Saturdays are taken, honey, so I can't go on any dates or go to any weddings or do anything fun because I've got to watch football every Saturday. No, don't be that person, okay?
There are a lot of people like that.
Yeah, and they're dumb. They're dumb.
What about the people that got to work?
What?
Like the people that actually got to work,
How
Adam?
About people who have families and children? Oh, I can't play with you, Arlo. I got to watch college football all day long. You know what my wife would do? She would put my grapefruits on the platter if I said, I can't do anything today, honey. I got to watch college football all
have you
day
tried
long.
It?
No.
Because well,
you
don't
do
know.
You say it's part of my job.
Exactly. It's part of my job. I got to watch college football.
I got to work.
I turned out okay.
Exactly.
Think.
I think you're good.
I watch the games I need to watch. But I did have an endearing, heartwarming moment yesterday. So my son was trying to delay going to bed. So we've got a pretty strict cutoff time for screens and TV. So he watched the final show he wanted to watch. He got all ready for bed. And then he said to me, Dad, can I watch some football? And I said,
yes.
You know what, son? Yes, we can. God. And because there weren't any live games on, I just turned on wherever I stopped in the Titans 49ers replay and
all
watched
right.
a few minutes with him.
Oh, that's cool, man.
And then my wife reminded him, hey, you know what happens, Arlo, in football? CTE.
Oh, wow. Y'all gonna have this man just petrified to watch football.
My wife.
I can't even watch it.
My wife.
I'm scared for the people.
Okay.
I'm scared for the players.
Okay, first of all, someone says grapefruits, marbles at best. Okay, excuse me.
Oh, no. That's just stop.
Do not question my testicular fortitude. Okay? That will not happen. Okay?
That's a drop. You just made some
goodness.
Promo material,
I'll
pal.
Say it again. Do not question my testicular fortitude. Random texter. You don't even put your name on it, you coward. I have two beautiful kids. Take that.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, it was nice. Arlo was like,
That's cool.
I watch some football? I'm like,
did you at least
yes.
show him some good plays?
It's in the blood. It's in the blood.
Well, here was the problem. Where I had stopped the replay was on the intentional grounding play.
Wow.
So that's the first play he saw.
Wow. First glimpse of the Titans, and that's
goes,
what he gets.
It gets better.
What Dexter says, One texter says, spoken like a true ACC fan. Football is life in the SEC. Well, first of all, I have a good work-life balance. It's important to have that in your life.
Oh, whoa, whoa. So what you're saying, SEC fans don't have one?
Some of you don't.
That's rude. I like college basketball better than football.
But like, I could
That's
not.
That's why it just means more.
I could not exactly. say. I could not say to my wife on the Saturday, honey, I've got all day. I've got to watch every ACC basketball game on TV today. Duke plays at 11, but then I'm going to watch the Wake Forest game at 2 and the Virginia game at 5 and the Stanford game at 9. So I can't do anything. So sorry, you have to take the kids all day. I can't do that.
But they don't have what the SEC have and what they live by.
What's that?
It just means more. Y'all don't have a tagline. So
yeah.
you could
I don't
if
know
you
what
say
the
that
ACC
tagline,
slogan
she
is.
Would say, okay, it means more. All right, so go ahead and watch again.
What is the ACC slogan? That's a good question.
We're
everywhere. We go coast to coast.
There we go.
In 2023, it was accomplish greatness.
Oh my goodness!
Doesn't have the same.
Yeah,
doesn't have the same ring.
Why
to
do
it.
You watch this ACC to accomplish greatness? Okay, going by
from coast to coast.
Really looking forward to that Syracuse versus Cal game, 10 p.m. Right. Central start. Yeah. Anyway, all right. I did not mean to like disparage most of you, but I just wanted to get that off my chest. Just maintain a good work-life balance. Just like. I'm not done yet. I remember when my sister got married in New Orleans. I believe it was the same day as an LSU game, and it was a late fall wedding, if memory serves. So it must have been an important
right.
conference game.
Mm-hmm.
And,
night game, Baton Rouge, tradition.
And my then brother-in-law, because they're no longer together, mm-hmm. my then brother-in-law's family, I believe one half, is from Louisiana. So there was a TV and a separate room for all of the diehard LSU fans to check in on the game during
very
the ceremony.
Very tasteful.
And
very,
part of me was like, guys, you can't put it away for a couple of hours to celebrate love?
Nope, of course not.
Nope.
They are celebrating love.
They are.
One of the stipulations is there has to be a television in the facility. It has to be when you're talking about SEC during the football season. And everybody knows not to plan a wedding during the football season. Isn't that right? It just means more.
If it does mean
exactly.
more, then you don't get married it. On a Saturday.
No, you don't.
Fall weddings.
Everybody knows that.
Hey, it is what it is. I've had friends that got married, and they said, well, we had a set like you. Well, we had a separate room, and we were watching the games all the way up to, you know, we had to be at the church, and then after that, we watched the game more. So it's just me.
I mean,
more.
Maybe this isn't exactly the same, but I got married in December mm-hmm. when I was still covering the Predators on a daily basis, and it wasn't like, honey, there's no way we can get married in the winter because I have to go to this Predator Stars game on a Saturday night at Bridgestone Arena. Can't do it. Schedule's full.
Now, I think it's a little different in hockey or NBA or Major League Baseball where there's just more games. But when you're talking about a college football yeah. season, there's only 12 games.
Yeah.
These are big games.
Listen, Tennessee only plays Florida once a year.
One texter says, berating diehard sports fans is an odd take for sports talk radio. This is
good
this,
point.
This,
Adam, watch exactly. out. Watch yourself. Your
this,
opinion means nothing.
This is my point. This is my point. Okay? I know all of you are diehard sports fans. That's great. That's why you listen to the station.
Right. We know we have a problem.
We know. We know. But this is what I'm saying. It's just like don't be that person that isn't able to attend major events or spend time with your loved ones because you'd rather watch college football or college basketball or the NFL or the NHL or the NBA or college basketball. That's what I'm saying.
Where's Charlie?
Charlie needs to call.
Yeah,
and
Charlie
me.
Needs to call.
Right. He you have shadow bans on your show. I have them on mine now.
Brandy says, oh, you don't get married on a Saturday in the South during football season. Let me tell you something. My wife hates football, so it doesn't apply to us. So
yeah.
All right. So now that I've stepped in it with most of you.
Again.
It happens from time to time. All right. Let's get back to the Tennessee Titans. Yesterday, we had Blake Bedingfield on the program. Blake Bedingfield was the director of college scouting for the Tennessee Titans for nearly 20 years. And now He reviews Titans games for PaulKaharski.com. So the other day, he came out with his review of the Titans preseason game at San Francisco, and he wrote something that grabbed a lot of attention, so much so we had Blake Bedingfield himself on the program yesterday, and we are about to play a clip from that interview. But in case you missed what Bedingfield wrote about Cam Ward, here it is in part. Quote, "The Titans coaching staff and front office need to forget where Ward was drafted and the expectations that go along with that spot and evaluate him as the player he is. They have to mold him by highlighting his best plays and not allowing him to be the improviser and playmaker that he thinks he is." Bedingfield continues, "Ward would be better off becoming a Brock Purdy instead of a Patrick Mahomes. Watching Ward play, he tries to do too much, but his talent only allows so many wow plays. He has a chance to be a solid to good starter in the NFL if he can utilize the talent around him by winning with short gains and consistent production instead of swinging for the fences too often." Basically, what Bedingfield is saying is that Ward would be better off as a quote-unquote game manager. Insert spooky music here. Ooh, game manager. So here, in case you missed our conversation with Blake Bedingfield yesterday, here he is further explaining his opinion that Ward would be better off being more like Brock Purdy instead of Patrick Mahomes. Do you think Ward is of being that Brock Purdy type, and how successful do you think he can be if he were to adopt that style?
You know, it's a good question to ask, because if you would ask me this question last year, I would have a different answer. This year, the front office went out and surrounded him with talent like Carnell Tate, like Wandell Robinson. You add that to the mix of Calvin Ridley being back healthy, Gunnar Helm another year in the system, Tony Pollard, Tajay Spears. So you have a group of offensive personnel around him to have success like a Brock Purdy. Patrick Mahomes is one of one. He's an elite player. He's a special talent. He's an improviser, an ad-libber. He's someone who can take off-script plays and make unbelievable plays with it. Cam Ward has arm talent. He has the ability to spin the ball from different arm angles, whether it's rolling out to his right or his offside, his off-arm side to his left. He can be a pocket passer as well. What he has to do is define who he is. And when I said that about the coaching staff kind of forgetting where he was drafted, when you're the 1-1 in the draft, when you're drafted number one overall, there's a lot of expectations of what type of talent you're going to be. Cam Ward is a good player and will be a good player in this league. Is he an elite superstar type player? Maybe. Not right now, he's not. But there's potential down the road. But right now, he needs to be more of a manager of the game and utilizing the talent that the front office went out and got. Calvin Ridley, Carnell Tate are really good route runners. They're good hands players, and they can separate from defensive backs. Utilize those talents to be run-after-the-catch type players. Tate's probably not as good of a run-after-catch as Ridley, but they both have that. Wandell Robinson's a high-volume receiver, someone who can get 4 to 8 yards and be a check-down type player. Gunnar Helm has that same ability as a tight end. And then when you mix in Tajay Spears out of the backfield, you start to put the pieces together that allow him to be more comfortable passing the ball around and not taking as many shots, or in some situations, putting his offense in a negative situation like he did the other night with that potential fumble would end up being a downing.
So that was Blake Bedingfield on our program yesterday, making his case for why he feels the Titans should make Cam Ward more of a game manager than a Patrick Mahomes type of quarterback. But here's the question, Willie Donick. Blake Bedingfield laid it out quite well there. But have the Titans set up Cam Ward to be a successful game manager if that's the route they decide to go down?
I think, first of all, for him to be an effective game manager and a winning player, a game manager can win only if they have some tools around them, a really good defense, a solid running game, people who are playmakers that can take simpler plays and maybe turn them into explosive plays. I think that's what you're looking for. And right now, their roster is nowhere near that. But I started thinking, D-Mace, what if you wanted to go down this road and say, okay, Cam, let's rethink, let's rewire you a little bit. We're gonna do this different than you've been taught, than you've always had to do it, as more of the underdog zero star recruit that's had to prove himself. Here we're gonna take a little different approach. How would you do it? Like I brought up the example yesterday of making rules. Like I'll give you my background. As I had a very tough disciplinarian coach, very stickler for detail, Eddie Fogler at Vanderbilt. And there were things that he would put in as rules. They were just rules. And they were, some people I think would consider it restrictive. But his thing was, we have to be stickler for details. Not everybody's the same. And so we had a player on our team who was a big man, and he turned the ball over a little too much. So he made a rule for that player, one dribble. You can't dribble more than once. Mm-hmm. And it did help him. Like, it took away creativity, but it was restrictive. But it probably led to less mistakes and better stuff for the team. So what would you do with Cam if you wanted to say, let's have this mentality of being a game manager? Whether you think it's right or not, what would you do? How would you teach it?
I think you just, you know, you can't completely take away his ability to create. But I think you set up, you know, plays, or you set up your offense where he doesn't have to do that consistently. I think look at obviously my personal experiences with, you know, playing with Steve and even playing with Joe Flacco. But look at what Greg Roman did with Lamar Jackson. They built that offense around his strengths and took away some things, but they wanted him to develop within that system. And then once they finally got to a point where he felt comfortable and everything else, they sort of graduated from that system, got a new coach, and then obviously, you know, you see what Lamar is as a passer now. There are ways you can do that without, you know, telling a guy he can't do that. Because that's not like, don't take a sack. That's, you know, just don't take a sack. I could tell a quarterback, don't take a sack. And I probably have a better shot at him not doing that than telling him, okay, that sidearm stuff, don't do it no more. Because I am hoping for a perfect play every time so he doesn't have to do that. When in actuality, there may be more times that he have to do that, but I think you got to set up your offense where those times or those opportunities are few and far in between, where he has to sort of play playground ball. You know, some things are just going to break down. You know that's going to happen. But if you – and I think Daboll is trying to do that, getting the ball out of his hands quickly. And that's something that he's still learning. I'm watching plays of Cam now, and – you know, looking at a slant flat pattern, you know, combination where he should have really went to the other side if you go back and look at it, because the defense was telling me on one side what they were going to do. So the out and the up, the out was going to be open to the tight end without any hesitation. But these are things that Cam is, you hope he learned. And that's why a lot of this, like, it's so important that Daboll get this right with him, you know, and cater to, because you have to essentially cater the offense to what you want your quarterback, what he can do and what you want him to get better at. But you can't just take away those things that helped him get to this point. Now, you try to minimize, you know, those opportunities, but you can never just take them away from a quarterback. You just got to make the game. He has to, in order for that not to happen, he has to see the game in progressions. He has to see 1, 2, 3. If that 3 ain't there now, it's a clock in my head. I got to either go, I got to throw it away. And I don't think he's gotten to that point yet. He's 1, 2, 3. Oh, I'm gonna sit back here. I'm gonna make something happen. I mean, instead of just saying, let's just play the, you know, live to play another down, dump it out, or take the gimme. And he's not there yet, and he needs to get there.
615-737-1025. We will continue this conversation next. Plus, I do have a question about this game manager label, something I'm wondering about with Cam Ward specifically. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.
All right, I
want to
watch this clip.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It's you know, it's become a negative thing. I don't know why, because the best quarterbacks of all time manage the game at a high level. I think the biggest difference is when the time comes down to it, they just find ways to make either an explosive or make another play. So, you know, all the good ones, all the great ones that win, they manage the game at a high level. Now, some are just more flashy, and I think they don't have that, you know, that context or that tag. But it really doesn't matter because, you know, your job as a quarterback, execute the play that's called, get your team in the end zone, and at the end of the day, have more points than the other team and find a way to win. And how
far? That was Bo Nix last year on being labeled a game manager. He did not take it poorly. As he said, the best quarterbacks in the league know how to manage the game. Indeed, he embraces it. But here's my question about Cam Ward in this game manager talk that we're having, stemming from a review of the 49ers preseason game from Blake Bedingfield of PaulGaharski.com. I feel like in order to be a 2026 quote-unquote game manager, you need to have a superpower. I would say Bo Nix, for example, has a superpower. He's great outside the pocket. I found this from ESPN. His 8 touchdown throws from outside the pocket tied for the second most in the league, and no one made more outside the pocket throws last season than Nix. And Nix is, I would say, an effective scrambler. He did get hurt scrambling, but he is an effective scrambler. He can make plays outside of the pocket. Brock Purdy, again, Blake Bedingfield said, Cam Ward needs to become more of a Brock Purdy than a Patrick Mahomes. Derek, you said yesterday that you think Brock Purdy has elite processing ability. I would also argue that Brock Purdy is one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the NFL. So in order to be that game manager, I think you need to have a superpower. What is Cam Ward's superpower?
Right now, he hasn't. His superpower is what we don't want him to do, is to improvise. Because that's what he's been able to do, you know, at his, you know, in college and a little bit last year, is to, you know, sort of hypnotize you with those wow plays because he has the arm talent to do it. So I think sort of, but you don't want to have to use that. You don't want to make, you just want to make that a tool. You don't want that to be who you are. Like, that's who I am. That's my super, like, I just do the, but the other stuff I do, it's not good. You just want it to be a part of yours. He's going to, his ultimately his superpower is going to have to be him processing it quickly, because he doesn't see the field because he's not 6'4 or 6'5. So, you know, he sees the field a little bit different. That's what Drew Brees, Blake brought up Drew Brees yesterday. He had extreme, I mean, he had elite processing. That's what made him so good at a guy that was barely 6 foot, 6'1", because he processed everything so fast. Peyton Manning's ability to process, Tom Brady's ability to process, because none of those guys were, you know, we never, you know, saw them as strong arm quarterbacks or guys that throw fastballs all the time. No, what we talked about with those guys is their ability to process, to game, to see the defense and to know what you're running and know what I'm doing and where the weak spots are in that defense. That's what Cam is going to have to get better at, because again, some of these traits that, you know, Daboll has been used to, the big physical type of player, he's not that. He's not. So his thing has to be my ability to process this offense and get to my guys as quickly as I possibly can. And if not, then that's where you sort of, you know, either make the decision to run or throw it away. But you have to become a better processor in this defense. That's the only way it's going to, and that's why you talk about Brock Purdy. Again, Brock Purdy is a top five processing quarterback. The number, I mean, you just watch him. They marvel at the way he can get from 1, 2 to 3. That's because he doesn't have all those other attributes that are just wowing everybody. That's what Cam has to get.
I think this is a crossroad. We're getting near a crossroads for Cam Ward, and that's why, you know, that's why Dable was brought in. And so Brian Dable, I'm sure, has gone through this process in his head of how do I get him to the next level. And I have no idea if the term game manager pops into his head at any point or not. But I think every coach, and I've used it in a sport that I'm more familiar with from a playing standpoint, but I have played for coaches that are very restrictive and set rules for the benefit of the player and the team, where there are strict rules of shot selection, and different players are allowed to take different shots based on their strengths. I've also seen coaches and played for coaches that are saying, I don't want to put the shackles on you. I want you to think freely. I don't want you to worry about looking over your shoulder, and I'm going to yank you out of the game if you try to make a play. So it's a matter of philosophies. But I do think with some of these plays with Cam, where he's at a crossroads, right? I think both roads I could make an argument for. A, don't take the creativity out of him. As he gets better and plays more, he'll know when he can take chances and throw sidearm and when he can get away with it and when he can't. But there might be a lot of growing pains along the way. I can also see a scenario of what I was talking about before, of more restrictive rules. Hey, until you prove you can make no mistakes and until you prove that we can have better results when you extend plays, we're going to have restrictions. No sidearm throws, no cross-body throws. We're eliminating these things. We're having rules. I'm not sure which camp Dayball falls into, but I'm curious to see, because we know that Cam Ward has got to get better for him to be more effective out there. And we know what the numbers suggested last year. And we're keeping in mind that he was in a tough environment. But when he extended plays and tried to take chances, for every highlight play that we saw, like against the Rams, his first ever touchdown pass, overall, in the big picture, the numbers were backwards, right? They were not good.
Friend of the show, Drew Beatty, who also writes for PaulKaharski.com, had his film review of Cam Ward's performance against the 49ers. And I think this ultimately speaks to the challenge Ward and the Titans have. Quote, his uncanny out-of-structure playmaking ability is a trademark of his playstyle. And while the coaching staff must be careful not to clip those wings, it's imperative that Ward reels in his reckless tendencies that can set the offense back. And that's
right. So how do you accomplish that? How do you coach that? Is my question of the day. I think we all agree on that point. So the question is, how are we working with Cam every day to coach him to get to that point?
Well, that's going to be the ongoing mission, is to, you know, get him to a point where he's not relying on those things consistently more than they are just a part of who he is as a quarterback. We don't see as much as, you know, we see some of these quarterbacks, most notably Patrick Mahomes. As much as we watch him, we see him managing a game more than we see him running around doing all this crazy stuff. He only do that, a lot of that, when he has to. But he would rather stay on task and hit the guys that are supposed to be open. He wants to stay on schedule as much as possible. And sometimes, you know, every once in a while you do have to do those things. But don't, you know, think, okay, this is who I am, and now I got to, you know, sort of operate based upon that premise. No, Cam has to learn that you have to be able, in order for this offense to move, you know, the way we want it to move, yes, it's going to entail big plays, but those big plays has to come when we're within the structure of our offense and how we planned it. Now, there may be some plays that's going to happen that happens in games where it breaks down, you got to make a play. But we want all our big plays a lot of times to come from the structure of the offense and how we're running it.
And it's a challenge, because you don't want to completely strip away the things that Cam Ward can do that ultimately led him to being the number one overall pick in the draft. And we're not here to relitigate that pick. It's been made, okay? Mm-hmm. But the potential risk here is if you take too much away from what Cam Ward does best and he becomes a shell of himself, then you're also not getting the best case scenario, right? Mm-hmm. It's a really fine line. You don't want to completely clip his wings, as Drew Beatty wrote for PaulGaharski.com. You don't want to clip his wings and say, Cam, as you said, Willie, yesterday, no more sidearm throws. Ball's got to be out immediately. No more escaping the pocket for this long, this, that, and the other thing. But you don't want to take all of those things away from him, but you don't want to completely neuter him too. Like that's the
catch 22. That's mm-hmm. what's tough. And what does Cam respond to more? Right, some of this is on Cam. He's got to get there, and he's going to get the reps. They're going to keep putting him out there. And I still think you're in a bit of a developmental phase of the roster. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's the end-all, be-all that you've got to win every week. Everybody wants to win. But how do I get him to be the best version of himself next year, the year after, the year after? I think that's important. And there's no minor leagues mm-hmm. in football like there is. You could. It'd be nice to send him to AAA where you could say, hey, have at it, man. Go after it. Be yourself, and you'll learn these things. And if you screw up and we lose, no big deal. It's minor leagues. That's not what he's playing right now. He's playing for an NFL team, and the guys in the locker room want to win. The fans want to win. So that's what's difficult, I think, and that's part of the reason why quarterbacks don't develop very well in this league.
615-737-1025. All right. Because of my earlier unhinged, perhaps, rant about work-life balance and not icing out your family during college football season, someone sent me an appropriate clip, and we're going to play that coming up next to wrap up the show, and we'll see how I react. 615-737-1025, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.
Biggest college game day pet peeve is when my friends and family don't understand that the whole slate matters.
Sometimes in life and in college football, you have to cut people off, man. You know? Like, you can't make them get it for you. You can explain it. You can't make them understand it. And the thing that you venture into in your circumstance, hey, I want to be with you to watch the Florida game. Call it a 3:30 kick. Great. Well, you're locked into the noon slate. So leading up to that, you're trying to watch every single snap until Florida plays. And you got people coming over probably a little bit before the game starts, and they're talking, they're wanting to know where the bathroom is. Hey, do you have any snacks? Meanwhile, it's a close game in the big noon kick. You got a Texas and Ohio State going at it. Or you got Oklahoma, Michigan going at it, and you're missing the end of the fourth quarter because you're playing host. Sometimes you got to cut people off. Or on the back end of that, game's finishing up, and you're excited to watch the primetime game, and they're talking about, well, where should we go now? You want to come to dinner? You're like, no, I don't want to go to dinner. I want to watch the end of this game. I want to watch the next game. It sometimes gets kind of sticky transitioning from game to game. And so it might be in your best interest. I know it hurts, but it might be in your best interest to say, hey, family, I love you. Friends, I love you. I'll see y'all Sunday. I'm sorry. I got a mission. I got a goal. I got a standard for myself here. If you can't meet that with me, I'll see you tomorrow.
I don't even know what to say.
D-Mace's duets coming at you.
Absolutely.
Right after that, very interesting rant.
Don't be that guy.
Hey, he's telling you.
That's, by the way, is it J.D. Pickell, not J.D. Pickle of On Three? I apologize to J.D. for butchering his last name, potentially. That was sent to me after my rant at the top of the hour. Mm. But the idea of, I've got to be locked in for the full college football slate today, family, friends. I'll see you Sunday.
Have to be, man. you have to be.
Don't disregard the fact that was the song of the day right there.
That you're the one that I want. You're the one that I want.
Absolutely. And the one that I want would divorce me quickly if I told her that. Here's the problem, too. You can't do this Saturday and Sunday.
That's a tough one.
You can't be all day college football Saturday, all day NFL on Sunday, unless you want to be served divorce papers. You have to choose one. At the very least, you have to choose one. All right, honey, I'm watching all of the college football games today. I've got one NFL game to watch on Sunday, and I'm all yours. You can't do both. If you're childless, if you're single, go for it. Go nuts. But you can't. Don't cut off your friends and family.
Well, you can. We all have the sickness if we're listening to the show right now, so we just have to.
But you can be a devoted sports fan without going completely over the top.
Right, you have to be creative.
I know that fan is short for fanatic. I understand that. But again, I'm just speaking from my personal experience. That would not fly in the Vingen house because I am not the boss in the Vingen house. That would be my wife, Bridget. She is the boss.
Even
ask my son, who's the boss? Mommy. Daddy is not the boss.
Listen, any SEC fan worth their salt, any, will never ask another SEC fan, hey, you want to go to a wedding on a Saturday? Because they know what the answer will be. Like, right. They know not to do that. So, I mean, he's right. They cut off people. The same people that want to watch, they cut off other people that probably want to watch. So it's just like, man, well, listen, when football season going on, when in SEC country, it's football over everything. It's church then football, or football Saturday and church Sunday. But you ain't nothing circumventing those two things. So
I'm not giving up.
Got to get used to
it,
man.
I'm not giving up my friends or my family to watch college football all day on Saturday.
Some people do it. Good for you. They're like, listen.
If it is. For us, we can say this is – people always laugh. I always use this because it's a fun joke to tell. They're like – because I think I've had that balance in life like a lot of people, right, where we're nuts. We have a sickness. We love sports. Mm-hmm. My head is turned. I miss conversations. I get made fun of because Willie's not paying attention. Mm-hmm. He's looking at the TV. He's spaced out. But, like, there is – I always say, well, I'm working.
Yeah, I'm working. Got my notepad.
And it doesn't fly in the household.
I'm working, though.
Like it's funny for at a party. It's not funny sometimes when you're at home. So I get that. But like there are ways to sort of make up for it, right? That's what I learned is now you can stream games, you can record games, you can go back and be able to watch. Mm-hmm. I find it a dilemma as a sports talk show person. Once the hockey season starts, and I know I have to do the hockey game, there's been any number of World Series games and college football playoff games and NFL playoff games where we're literally on the air and doing a game while those games are going on. I'm like, you know, I'd really like to watch this game. So you figure out ways to get through it to achieve the balance, like you're saying.
Caleb says, the worst is when you agree to go and hope to watch on your phone and the venue doesn't have signal. Been there.
Ooh.
Chad says, might I recommend a partner who is supportive of the things you like to those out there? My wife watches ball with me, and it's a 10-for-10 deal. Well, here's the thing.
There you go.
When I was considering proposing to my wife, I wasn't like, all right, what are her top qualities? One, must love ball. That wasn't on the list, all right? I was more concerned about her being a supportive partner and a wonderful mother, which she is. My wife does not watch sports. Mm-hmm. She doesn't hate sports. She doesn't watch sports. So, and you know what? That actually is good for me because when I'm done here and I watch the games I need to watch, I like to turn my brain off and focus on other things. I'm not sports 24/7. I'm sports like 14/7. You know, I leave some time in the day
during the season, in particular, like really college, because the NFL is a little bit. I think it's a little bit easier for you because there's not games. Just like there's only so many games they're going to play. Unlike college football, you got a bunch of games you can just sit down and watch. I have found myself like on Saturdays, really, like I really don't want to do anything or go anywhere too long. Or if I'm going to do something that's going to be later on in the evening, you know, unless it's like a marquee game. If it's a marquee game, then no, I'm not. I got to watch that marquee game because I know we're going to somehow, some way, we're going to talk about it. So I got to watch that marquee game. But I do feel at times like, man, I don't feel like, because I'd just rather watch it. But if they got a television where I'm going, it's like, okay, I go no problem. But typically, I like watching the games all day, man. It's, you know, I kind of work myself around that. But now, listen, my kids are grown now, so yes, I can do that.
That's a big difference.
My kids are grown, fully grown now, so I can do that. But even, you know, going out with my girlfriend or something, it's still, you know, man, football.
I think the key is you've got a schedule.
Yes.
I remember telling my wife last college football season, I've got to watch Vanderbilt at Tennessee. I need to be watching this game live. It's important for work. It's also going to be a great game. I need to watch the game. So you know what? I made sure I did everything else we needed to do throughout the day. So when that game started, there was nothing else to accomplish. I could focus on the game. Mm-hmm. That's the key. Again, work-life balance. Focus. Very important.
Balance.
Just focus on the game.
It's very important.
That was, what's the movie? Kung Fu Panda. Dustin Hoffman's here. Master Shifu. Balance.
It's all about balance. That's all I'm saying. That doesn't make you any less of a sports fan, okay? It doesn't make you any less of a sports fan. But just don't be, oh, I can't. I'm sorry, friends. I got to cut you off on Saturdays because I'm watching Big Noon Kickoff instead. Like,
but there are some people like that, Adam.
Well.
That watch Big Noon Kickoff?
Exactly. Yeah.
Who watches Big Noon Kickoff?
I do sometimes. It's Big Ten.
I know. It is.
Here comes the Big Ten.
It is the Big Ten. Come on now.
It is the Big Ten. And look, I love sports. I wanted to be involved in sports from a young age. I knew I wanted to be a sports writer probably in high school. Mm-hmm. I mean, I went to journalism school with the goal of becoming a sports writer. I am a sports writer. I was a beat reporter for more than 7 years. I love sports, okay? I really love sports, but I also love spending time with people who don't like sports and enjoying the loving embrace.
Now, I think that's where I draw the line. I'm just kidding.
Hanging out with people who don't like sports?
Like,
what?
At all? Like nothing?
Like at all?
Yeah. You got to know somebody.
It is pretty funny.
You got to know somebody.
Oh, yeah. I know some people. It is pretty funny. The people who are just, they don't know who Patrick Mahomes is or, you know, something like that. That's where you're like, really? You don't know who that is?
That's like, okay.
I mean, my wife, like a lot of women her age, she was interested in football a little bit when Taylor Swift joined the chat when she started seeing Travis Kelce. She was very much into the Bad Bunny halftime show at the Super Bowl. That's what she wanted to see. And that's fine with me. That's fine with me. You can have separate interests and still love everybody. That's all I'm saying. Just work-life balance, guys.
Yeah,
just try it out. I'm trying to help you. I'm your love guru here, like Mike Myers in that really bad movie. Remember The Love Guru?
Which one was that?
He was trying to help Romany Malco, who was a player on the Toronto Maple Leafs.
No, I didn't see that.
It was culturally insensitive because Mike Myers was playing like a Hindu person. I don't even know. Terrible movie. Even worse than Couples Retreat.
Couples Retreat is not even in that. You're going to stop dishing on Couples Retreat now.
Should we have a Couples Retreat watch along?
Have you seen it, Willie?
Couples Retreat?
Yeah.
Only parts of it.
You need to watch it, okay? Because
it's on TV like five times a week.
Okay. So you think I should be like an independent evaluator, critic?
Because Connor, you've seen it, right?
No.
O'Connor, you need to watch
That's
it
my
too.
Homework. I'll try and find time this weekend.
The next time I see Couples Retreat on the grid, I will alert everybody to watch it, and then we can review it. Connor, what's coming up on the 6th, other than you may be getting yelled at again?
That is always a possibility, apparently. But lots of Titans talk. We're going to talk about Fernando Carmona.
Ooh.
And how he has the inside track at that right guard position. And is it good for the team? And then, of course, we have to talk a little bit of college football. Parker Kelly's on. We got to talk about the AP.
All right.
And how good the SEC is, just despite
D-Mace. Oh, my goodness. Here we go, Connor.
Well, I can't wait to hear. Yes, Derek, you should call.
I'm going
to
call in. And I'm
and tell Connor he's only allowed to talk about soccer and golf.
That's true.
Now on.
We're also going to break down.
Calling in.
We're going to break down the Ultimate Pillow Fighting League Championship.
All right.
That's what I want to hear about.
Now, that is a sport I will tell my wife. Can't do anything watching pillow fighting. That'll do it for us today. We will be back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Titans back on the practice field, open to reporters this time, and also fans, I learned today. Another open practice for all of you lovely fans out there. We'll react to what we saw. Terry McCormick will join the program to tell us what he saw from Titans practice as well. Have a wonderful rest of your day. We will talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Be loved. Love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful day. I love you. The team loves you. Hear that music? Don't you forget about us, because we will not forget about you. We'll be back on these airways starting at 3 p.m. tomorrow on 102.5. The game, discussing everything Titans, more college football, and everything else in between. And as I always say, we're going to be talking, and
you're going to be listening.
The 6 is next, and peace.